Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Three Footy Casuals podcast. So, me and Brian are back once again to talk about some more footy. So, hello, Brian. How are you doing on this fine day?
I'm doing great, and happy 4th of July to all of you fellas out there. If you're from the U.S., if not,
it's just a random happy Thursday.
4th of July to you anyway.
I was like, happy Thursday.
But yeah. I'm fine. Very exhausted.
Man, I am also fine. A little exhausted as well.
But
we're gonna recap. We're gonna recap these round of 16 games and then go into the predictions for the next round. But yeah, all I'm gonna say is me and Brian almost got them all perfect. I think it's eight for eight. I'm pretty sure 8 for 8 games. It was almost 8 for 8 until the final one broke our bracket. Is it 8 for 2? Oh no, yeah, 8 for 8.
There was a chance that Austria could have pulled it back, but
they didn't. Well, Brian's bracket is kind of chalked a bit.
Yeah.
So it's a bit tough, but mine could still be possible. But we'll see how it goes out. But we'll start off with these games, you know. So when we made these predictions, don't get me wrong, I didn't just say Italy because they knocked out Croatia, but Italy were looking shaky, you know, they weren't looking the best, honestly, and I just couldn't see them really, pulling it back, I guess you would say. Switzerland was playing really good, they had a great game. Ruben Vargas played a great game. He had an assist and a crazy shot. That goal was insane. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that game was crazy, man. But yeah, did you watch this game, Brian? What did you think of this game?
Of the Italy-Switzerland, right?
Yeah, is there?
Yeah, I was watching it, and I'm not going to lie, I wasn't shocked because I kind of felt like Italy was going to play the same old Italy way.
Yep.
And they did, where they just sit back and they try to go off of counters. I mean, after they were down one, they did start trying to attack a little bit, but then I swear that they scored, like, somewhat, like, right after.
Yeah, it was, like, halftime. Literally
just, yeah, and that just, like, killed the momentum, like, right after. I think it was, like, right after half they came back and just, they put one in. Yeah, and then from there, Italy was just panicking, but Switzerland was, like, chilling enough to where they could kind of just chill and park it a little bit. And that kind of just clutched it up for them. But, yeah, and Italy could not get anything to fall on the back of the net to save their lives. But, yeah, it was what I was expecting. I'm not going to lie. I didn't think Italy had a chance here because just the way that they play. And I feel like Switzerland was pretty hot coming into the knockout. So, yeah, it's kind of turned out how I thought.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I figured they'd do the whole sitting back and try to find a result, honestly. But, it just didn't.
Yeah, and... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was like, it just didn't go their way. Switzerland are having a great tournament at the moment, and they're doing really good.
Yeah, and like we say in these tournaments, there's always gonna be upsets, and you kind of have to like, you obviously can't guess every single one because there's just gonna be everywhere. But like, you gotta look at some games and be like, okay, like if there's gonna be an upset, it's gonna be one of these, and this was that one game where we were kind of just. We both kind of knew what was going to happen here because it's just like this is the team where it gets upset because of how they play. Like, it's not for any other reason. So, yeah, but like for other games, it's kind of hard to predict upsets. I feel like some are just pretty easy and that was one. But,
But I mean, it's only an upset because it's a big nation. Otherwise, nobody would see it that way because Switzerland's been playing better than Italy has, you know? Italy's weird, man. I might be wrong, but I feel like they have 2 World Cups and all that they haven't qualified for. They won the last Euros, but then they didn't qualify for the World Cup, which was crazy to me. So, I don't know. Italy's kind of in a weird spot. Like I said, they're a big footballing nation, but that's the only reason why it was an upset. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been an upset. But Switzerland took their chances, and they're playing great football right now. So, I'm excited for them. We'll see what happens for them in the next round. But very exciting game for sure. I for sure am not surprised at all by that result. But, yeah, so now into the Germany and Denmark game. So I watched this entire game myself, actually. Let's say from second. I'm really big on – I've been watching most of these games from, like, second half and on because I haven't had a chance to watch sometimes, but I saw that offside goal, and it was for sure offside. I mean, no. Well, is this the one where like his toe is poking over?
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, I like some results benefit you. Like, let's say your team, let's say like they get a goal, like for the other team they score and they get a goal pulled back because like something dumb, like their toenails over the line. But like that's cool and all, but I'm getting tired of these and it's ridiculous at this point. I'm excited for them to make that change where your whole body has to be offside for it to be offside, which is how it should have been from the beginning. Because I just can't be bothered to see any more graphics of like, oh, his pinky's sticking over the line. I'm just like, this is ridiculous. I don't know, but his toe was poking over, so it was rolled back offside. But yeah, and then they got a pan, you know, and good old Kai Havertz, man, that guy, he sunk it. But bro, Kai Havertz is so bad, man. Like, I don't know why they keep starting this guy. Because he's playing so bad. Like, they could have easily won like 4-5 nil if this guy sunk his chances. That one on one where he missed it, I'm like, how do you miss that? You need to score that, bro.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, man. And then I think Schlotterbeck had an error or two in this game where he almost like almost scored. I'm like, bro, yeah, it was. I think it was with Hoyland, he almost scored. Yeah. So I don't know what the heck Schlotterbeck is doing, bro. But they need to get that shit together. But they could have won by way more goals, man, if it wasn't for Kai Havertz. I don't know why they play him as a, well, I don't know if it's a false nine or a striker, but I feel like
he's like a false nine.
He's better as a cam, man. He's just not it as a striker. He struggles so much.
He's just not it in general.
Honestly, yeah. I can't believe that they have Verts on the bench, man. Yeah. I would play Verts, and then on top of that, you might as well just play Fulkirk up there, man. Like, you have two strikers on the bench, and you're playing a guy that shouldn't even be playing striker. You have Fulkirk on the bench, you know? And then you have, what's this guy's name? I forget.
And the thing is, Fulkrug is always putting in a shift when he goes in. Like, it's not even like this dude plays horrible. Like, he's always doing good, if not scoring.
Exactly. You're not wrong about that. They have him and Undav on the bench. They're both strikers for the Bundesliga. I'm pretty sure Undav, he plays for Stuttgart, and he had a pretty decent season. I think he plays for Stuttgart. Well, he plays for sure in the Bundesliga, but he had a pretty decent season, I would say. But even then, like, they have him and they have Fulkrug and they're playing Kai Havertz up there. Like, if you want to win games, you don't play Kai Havertz. I'm sorry, maybe he's a big player and you don't want to bench him or whatever, but like, there's no reason why Verts should be on the bench. That's one, and two, you need to be playing with an actual striker. Like, you're seeing it. And some of these footballing nations that are, like, missing a striker. If you don't have a striker, you don't have an attack to go through. Like, you can only get bailed out so many times by your other outfield players. Like we were saying about Croatia, like, one thing they're missing heavily was a striker. If they had a striker, they could have had a chance to go through. And not having an optimal striker is a big miss. Look at Spain with Morata up top. Like, sometimes he has his moments, like, in the past, where he's a little flaky, but he's having a decent tournament himself, you know. So and you know, he's a solid striker, and then you could tell that he makes the difference. So if they didn't have him, who knows? But you need a striker up top that can help you produce and sink shots. So Kai Havertz ain't it, man. If they want to win, they need to bench this guy, or they need to put in a striker for sure. But they need to be doing this, because I mean, like, I don't know if like Jamal Musiala is gonna keep bailing you out, you know. Same with like Verts. Like, I know those are the two guys that have been scoring a lot of goals. I believe Verts has, I think, 2 or 3 goals, and Musiala has 3 goals. So, yeah. No, but what'd you think of this game, Brian?
So, honestly, I was kind of disappointed with Germany's performance. I feel like this game, they should have won, like, easily 4-0.
Yeah.
I feel like this was their statement game where they could kind of, like, let everybody know what they're actually about and, like, they're not here to play. Because, like, I mean, I feel like this is one of those games where, like, you're clearly better than Denmark. Like, I mean, yes, there could be some crazy upset, but, like, no. Like, you should just be, like, miles ahead of Denmark. So I feel like this was their chance. But, like you said, like, they're not going to be winning comfortably. And it might cost them the tournament if they do not bench Kai Havertz. The amount of chances this man misses is actually absurd. And, like, eventually it's going to come up to, like, this next game where they're playing Spain. and it's gonna bite them in the butt if they dub, like, if they're not sinking their chances, because Spain will sink their chances. These guys have been looking unbelievable. Yep. Like, the way they've been able to hit the back of the net, like, they're actually playing very good football. So, I mean, unless Germany kind of gets it together, because yes, they did score, but one was a pen and the other one was a Musiala, like, banger, I believe.
Yeah.
And then, but even then, like, Musiala's not going to be scoring every match, I'm sorry to tell you. Like, yes, you're lucky that he's been putting in a great performance this whole tournament, but, like, at some point, if he doesn't score, who's going to score for you? And if it's not Kai Havertz, then I don't know, because I doubt Gundogan's going to be, like, scoring these bangers, or I don't see Toni Kroos, unfortunately, with, like, hitting
DM, out yeah. the
box, so, like, you're out of luck. Unless you get, like, a header or something, it's going to be tough if Kai Havertz ain't sinking it for you, so... Unless they switch him out and, like we said, like, put in Fulkrug. He was actually putting in, like, good minutes every time he goes in. He's actually getting a lot of opportunities. I mean, I feel like he just needs one to hit the back of the net. But even then, you can't really, like, blame him because he goes in for, like, 15 minutes every game. So, like, at some point, you got to give him a little bit more consistency so he can be able to cook. If not, I mean, you can't really blame him for just putting in the shift he does for, like, the 15 minutes. Because some people actually need to be a little warm, and I mean, you can't really keep a player warm by barely giving a minute. So, but yeah, and I don't know. I feel like I was, at the same time, I was kind of upset with the way that Denmark played, because I feel like they could have. I think they were playing very defensive, wasn't it? Was it this game?
They're running a 3-4-1-2, but their wingers are fullbacks, yeah. So they're essentially playing a five back.
Yeah, I remember. I remember it being like they're playing very defensive, because I remember Germany attacking a lot. But yeah, like, I expected them to attack a little bit more. I feel like they just worried too. Like, they kind of gave up from the start. They're just, like, not even really trying. There was just, like, more so defend, but you can't really play that way in these knockouts, because you can only defend for so long until you get scored on. And, I mean, if that's, like, your game plan to just defend, then it's just not going to turn out for you, man. So, yeah, I was kind of a little upset, but it is what it is. I mean, Germany got what they needed to do done, so they move on.
Yeah, you said it right. Exactly like that. Like, you can't always hope to make it to the end and, like, hold them back and try to get, like, a draw and, like, go for pens and stuff like that. Like, eventually you're destined to get scored on, especially a team like this, like with Germany. But, like, yeah. I said, if they had a more competent striker, they would literally score to 3 or 4 more 100%. And I'm not being dramatic, but, yeah, and the thing they need to work out is that, like, no offense, but Gundogan, they're playing him, like, high up the pitch, like, as a center mid or a cam, and he's just not doing anything every game. He literally doesn't do anything. Their CDMs are doing more, you know, like Kroos and Andrić, they're playing much better than he is, and he's playing more up the pitch where he could be involved with the attack. So he's not doing much. And then Leroy Sané, I feel like he has been invisible. I forgot he's on the pitch sometimes in these games. I forgot he's literally playing. But, yeah.
And you'd see him more because he's one of those pacey players that's just always running down the wing. But
you would think that, but he hasn't been doing anything, honestly. So I don't even know what they're doing at this point. I don't know if they could play Verts on the wing, but they need to play Verts on the wing. If they don't want to drop Kai Havertz down to a cam and then put Verts on the wing. And then they need to play, like I said, they need to play, Fulkrug or Undav up top. They need to play one of their strikers. They brought up these strikers for a reason, so what's the point of bringing them if you're not going to play them? But, right now, they've been getting through. Like, I'm not trying to, like, discredit Germany and say that the teams they've played haven't been that good, but when you go up against, like, Spain this next game, they're a big team and you can't afford to miss a chance. You got to take what you get, otherwise you're going to get knocked out. So they need to figure out their lineup situation. Because other than Schlotterbeck being a little shaky, their defense is pretty solid. That's what I have to say about that. But, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, yeah, that brings us to our next game, England-Slovakia. And, oh, my God, was this a game. I mean, once again, England does England things. They get scored on right away, which was actually, I'm not going to lie, it was a shocker, and it was a wake-up call. And this was a wake-up call that almost did not get answered, because Slovakia put in a goal, and then they were looking very, very good at the beginning of the game. They looked like they were not scared of England. They looked like they wanted to attack. They obviously were going to defend, but, I mean, at some point, like,
after you score, you kind of get a little bit of confidence, and you're just like, ah, like, we don't want to lose it, because then you remember, like, you're not this big of a team. And then, so yeah, they started, they got the goal pretty early on, and then England obviously started attack. But, I mean, attack without an attack is kind of crazy. So they weren't able to get anything going. They literally, like, I remember it was, every time I watch England, it's the most boring style of football I watch, because all I see is cross. These guys, if they do not score a header, like, and if it's not for a crazy lucky bicycle kick that's, like, going to happen every time, then these people, these dudes will not score, because all they do is try to go for crosses, and it's getting to the point where, like, it's actually getting me mad watching. It makes me not want to watch their games, because, like, they have the talent to be able to break teams down and, like, go in through the middle. But these guys just, for some reason, they don't want to. It's like they're so scared to go through the middle and play through the middle. When, like, I don't know if it's because they're, like, so in love with Saka and Foden that they think they can just cross it to Harry Kane. But Harry Kane has been invisible. Yes, he scored, but it was a lucky goal, to be honest. And if it, like, literally was a sitter. And even then, he's had sitters during the games, and he does nothing. I personally think it's time for Harry Kane to go. I think it's time for Saka to go. I think it's time for Foden to go. And, like there's so many. I'd rather have Palmer on where Saka's at. And then I'd literally rather put, what's his face, Eze or Gordon on the left. Like, that's how done I am with Foden and Saka. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of seeing them. But, yeah, so, I mean, they were just attacking the whole time. They couldn't get anything to fall. Luckily for them, they got Jude saving the day again. He ends up getting a crazy bicycle kick with, like, 1 minute left in overtime, because I think they only got 600 minutes, and he scored it in, like, the fourth or the fifth. But, yeah, it kind of saves their tournament. They go to overtime, or they go to extra time, I should say.
Overtime.
Me thinking about basketball right now because the trades. But, anyways, then they go to extra time. And then Harry Kane gets one literally like the first minute of extra time, and it kind of just ruined the momentum for Slovakia. They did have a crucial chance, I believe it's like in the second half of extra time, and they choked it so bad. So, I mean, they kind of like threw it themselves. They could have got it to go to pens, but I mean, if this game didn't show you how shaky England is, like, I don't know what will, and I'm scared for them moving forward. I feel like they just got blessed with the side of the bracket they're on, but if they keep playing like this, it's going to catch up to them, probably in the next game. So it's very sad, though. I was sad for Slovakia because they should have won this game. They literally had it.
Yeah, honestly, they were very close to pulling it off, you know, but, like, they need to figure something out, man, because at this point, it's just it's just ridiculous, because I hear that supposedly that like Southgate's scared to bench some of these guys and play, like, and I don't know why everyone, it's funny, everybody comes after Jude Bellingham just because he plays for Real Madrid and this and that. I don't know what their bias is and all this, why they hate on Bellingham for, just because,
yeah.
I don't know if it's because he didn't want to come to the Premier League, and to them, like, the Premier League is like, it's like, it's funny, like, they think that the Premier League revolves around the world, and, like, no, bro, like, it does not, but everybody swears by it, but a lot of people, I don't know, maybe they're bad that he didn't, that he rejected the Prem to go play for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, maybe a lot of these English clubs don't like Real Madrid because they knocked them out a lot in these tournaments, but I don't know what's going on, but there's a lot of hatred towards Bellingham. I feel like, yes, he sometimes isn't always producing or performing, but look at the players around him. Like, what is he going to do? He's not Superman. He can't do everything. He can only do so much with the talent and the players he got. Like, did you guys forget, like, in that very first game when they played against Serbia, when, like, they're doing good in that first half, and then they come, like, second half, they're playing horrible, and then, like, Jude's like, come on. Like, he's telling them to, like, to go forward, and instead of dropping back, like, imagine playing, like, a world-class half, and then, like, resorting to just falling back and just going for a tie at 1-0 up, and you're just there like, come on, what are you guys doing? Like, come on, let's attack. So, like, yeah. I don't know why they're trying to bench him, because I'm telling you, if you bench Jude, I mean, you're gonna just lose, because he's the one who's been scoring these clutch goals, but whatever, man. I'm just saying, he's the one that keeps scoring these clutch goals. Like, if he doesn't score that goal against Serbia, they draw, and I don't think they get out of the group, or if they do, they come out second. And then if he doesn't score that goal, then they would have they would have lost. But we're saying,
I feel like the thing with Jude is like, I think it's more of like the media portrays him as like Superman. Like they see his success that he had in La Liga and like how many goals he was actually putting in and like the, how would I say, like how involved he is for Real Madrid, that whenever they see him on England, they expect the same exact result. And when they don't see that, they kind of get upset. But like, you can't expect him to score a goal, like a goal every match for England. Like, The style of players is completely different versus Real Madrid. Like, Real Madrid plays a very, like, how would I say it? A very selfish style of attacking football. Like, these guys spread the ball. They know how to get open. They have a lot of open space at times. And whenever I watch England, it's the complete opposite. These dudes are always bunched together. Everyone's always in the same exact spot. Like, they do not like to pass it. They like to keep it for themselves. They like to take shots whenever they could get an extra pass. Like, there is just completely different than what it is for Real Madrid. So, like, I feel like the fans and the media, too, they're kind of the ones that are kind of, like, creating this problem for Jude, where they're kind of just blaming Jude because they're not seeing, like, the crazy superhero, superhero game every single time. But, I mean, like, you just gotta accept the fact that, like, this England team in general is just lackluster. So, like, you can't put it all on Jude because, if anything, he's the only reason that they're in the knockouts right now. The only goal they scored was him.
Exactly, yeah. So, like, I don't know. Like, all I gotta say is that I felt like Foden's been lackluster this whole tournament, but no one's saying anything about Foden. But whatever, just because he won the young player of the season, the player of the season, I'm like, I don't care, man. That trophy means nothing here. If he's not performing to his ability, then I don't know what. Like, again, people keep saying to play him as a cam. I'm like, bro, I'm like, stop trying to, like, force him into this team. If he's not working out, he's not working out. Like, they're just doing everything and anything to keep him, like, give him an excuse that's not excusable. Coincidence? They sub him out and they score. Like, crazy, right? Like, crazy.
I think I know what the problem is. They need to throw my boy Saka back into his natural position at left back and let him cook.
Oh my god, I can't believe they did that.
Have you seen the memes of that?
I still don't know what he was doing. I'm like, I felt like Trippier is doing okay back there. Like, I know he's not a natural left back, but I mean, I feel like he's doing okay. He's not that bad, but I wouldn't put Saka at left back. He doesn't even play that. And I remember I saw that quote where he was like, I don't think putting me playing me out of position is going to help at all. And I was like, it's right. Why would you play him out of position? Yeah. What's that going to do? I'm like, playing more players out of position? Like, that's what's going to make it bad? Like, no. It makes no sense, man. But as soon as they subbed off Foden and they brought in Ivan Toney, Ivan Toney literally made the difference right there. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. And then they proceeded to sub off the two goal scorers. I'm just like, what is Southgate doing, man? But all I gotta say is that
I don't blame them on the Harry Kane one. Honestly, dude was not it. Yeah, like,
that's fine.
If it wasn't for that goal, his performance would have been shocking again.
The very true. And
way.
But they need to change formations, or they need to bench Harry Kane. They need to play, but they won't change formations because it works for them. But like, they need to either switch to a two striker formation, or they need to bench Kane, because I feel like a lot of the attack gets killed with him at the top. Like, I don't know. I feel like he's just like a waste of space, man. Like, what does the guy do? I'm just like,
I just don't think he fits anymore. Because the one game they put in Ollie Watkins, like, the amount of chances Ollie Watkins was creating by himself is, like, should tell you that Harry Kane needs to go. Because Harry Kane can't do anything by himself. And in this formation, it's like they want him to do everything by himself. And that dude can't do anything. He just, like, I feel like he can't even get a control of the ball at times. Like, dude looks like a lost puppy out there. And I don't know. I think he's like a little past his time for the England squad. Like, maybe he can cook for other teams, but for this team, I think he just got to go.
I don't even know. But they got extremely lucky. They almost went out. It would have been the hugest upset ever. And I'm not surprised, honestly. I wasn't shocked. If Slovakia knocked them out, I wouldn't have been shocked whatsoever at all. But
yeah, and this was those games where we kind of knew it was upset potential.
Yeah, but hey, they survived with the skin on their teeth. And they got lucky there. And they progress on. Yeah, which leads us to this next game, Spain, Georgia. Okay, so don't get me wrong. Of course, I wanted Spain to go through, and but it would have been so cool if Georgia went through, but I just couldn't see Georgia going through. They're doing good, you know. Like, I'm not like, I know it shows 4-1 on paper, but if you watch this game, Georgia put up a fight, man. And like I said, I respect them. They may be running a 5 back, but you wouldn't know it. Like, they're not just sitting back entirely. Like, they're playing a whole different game. And as soon as they conceded, I think you noticed that they opened up some more, which is the reason why they conceded more. But, like, hey, at least they opened up more, tried to score more goals. I mean, they had some chances. They just couldn't get it going. They had that goal early on, that own goal where it deflected off of it went in off of Lenormand, but I don't know. It's pretty self-explanatory, honestly. Like, I knew Georgia didn't really have a chance here. It just looked hopeful for a second. They put up a good fight. They had a great tournament. You should be very proud, Georgia, and any Georgians out there should be very happy with their performance. I'm like, how many teams can qualify for the knockouts on their debut tournament? So it's a lot to think about, and they got some talent that they could see themselves going forward. You know, maybe they can make the 26th World Cup, just saying. If the talent that they got keeps producing, you know, like, they may just see them there. You never know. But Spain look insane, man. Like I said, Nico Williams is going to get scooped up 100% this summer. I don't know by who. Not Barcelona.
I thought he had already agreed to Barcelona.
I don't even know. Nothing's official. Yeah, I don't even think they've triggered his buy clause, but I don't know if they can even afford it because they're broke, man. But like, nothing's been official yet. I think his buyout clause is either 60 or 40, but it's going to get bought by somebody. 100%, but Spain played very, I know, right? They played very good, and, you know, like, I'm not surprised at all, and they're like, favorites to win this whole thing. But any thoughts, Brian, before we move on? Because, I mean, Spain, it was pretty self-explanatory. Everybody kind of saw this coming, really.
Yes, I was just going to say, I was like, so for my thoughts, I will give this to Georgia. I think Georgia was the best counterattacking team in this tournament. After, like, there was a lot of good teams. Don't get me wrong. There was the Romanias, the Austrias. Like, a lot of these teams were, like, very good counterattacking-wise. But Georgia, I think, was just, like, they have the perfect players to be able to do that. Because I feel like every time they would just send Kavicha, and that dude would literally, like, he's so quick that he can just create a one-on-one by himself. And a lot of times he puts himself in such good positions. Unfortunately for him, Spain actually has a pretty solid defense. I wouldn't say, like, a very, like, superior defense, but they have a very solid defense, so it's kind of hard for him to cook. Because a lot of the times he was, like, it was a 1v3. But, like, in the one chance they got at the beginning of the game, we knew they were going to end up scoring at some point. We just didn't know when. But they did score pretty early on, which kind of set high hopes, but I think it was kind of obvious that Spain was going to win this game regardless. Like, it was just a matter of time of we're like, okay, well, they're going to come back and score, but when are they going to score? Are they going to score now? Are they going to score later? But, I mean, they responded very quickly with Raji's screamer at the start. Like, dude has to be the best center defensive mid right now in all of the sport. Like, that dude is playing at such a high level. It's actually crazy. But then Nico Williams, too, like, the screamer he had later, I feel like it – the, like how you said, the score kind of just depicts them opening up after, like, they got scored on again, because they kind of, like, more of stat padded towards the end of the game. I feel like they could have easily just won the game 2-1, but props to Spain for not letting down. I mean, whenever it's 2-1, it's still a very close game, so you just keep attacking. Like, if you need to, you just attack. But yeah, props to Georgia too, because they also just kind of, they knew what they had to do. They had to start attacking, because if you don't attack, you're not going to score. You can't just sit back and expect an outcome to come off of a counter. Like, at some point, you got to just open up and just give it everything, because it is the knockouts. So, but yeah, I mean, I think it was just one of those performances that shows us how dominant Spain is. And I mean, it's very scary looking forward, because I feel like the performance they put up versus the performance that Germany put up is, like, kind of two different things, and they see each other next. So we'll see how that goes. But, I mean, yeah, I'm very excited to see what Spain has going forward. And congrats to Georgia for making it this far. Hopefully we see them a lot more coming soon.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, very crazy stat I just saw, by the way. So I was like looking at the game right now, and because I kind of wanted to remember if this was the one where like they were just attacking the whole time, and it was indeed. Spain had 35 shots that whole game. That's a crazy stat. Dudes were literally like shooting every single time. Every minute they were shooting. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that. It's funny.
Yeah, they went all for it, man. They won it. So props to Spain. Now they're going to test themselves in the next round against Germany. See if they really got it. But yeah, on to the next game. A game against two French-speaking countries. For those that don't know, they speak French and Belgium. But yeah. So we have the number 2 versus the number 3 in the world. So Belgium went out a little sad, obviously, with an own goal. But so one thing I was telling Brian is that when I saw it, I feel like it was more of a deflection than
an own goal. Yeah, it was more of an actual goal than an own goal.
Yeah, because, like, what happened to the days where you can differentiate between an own goal and a deflection? Because even if it deflects, it's still your goal because you took the shot. In my knowledge, what I always assumed was an own goal was if the player hits it in themselves. If the ball bounces off someone's leg or someone's thigh or something, I'm like, it should still be a goal because it was like a deflection, not like, oh, the player accidentally headed the ball into their own net or like they kicked and then like, or they had bad placement, you know, and the ball went off, ricocheted off their foot and it went in or something like, but, I don't know. I felt like it was a goal and I feel like they're kind of robbing Kolo Muani of some, you know, some glory there, you know, like I'm sure some people are still upset about that final miss in the World Cup, but he kind of, I mean, it was kind of a redemption, you know? So, So, one thing, and I keep mentioning, and I told Brian this, and I'm tired and tired and tired and tired. Okay, so first of all, they played Griezmann on the right wing, man. So I don't watch Atleti play. I don't watch Barca play. But one thing I remember, and I remember this very well, when Griezmann played for Real Sociedad, he played on the left wing 1,000%. And I know this because Carlos Vela at the time played for Sociedad and he was the right wing. So I know for a fact that Griezmann was a left wing. He was never a right wing. But even then, he's transitioned into a striker now. They just threw him in the right because Deschamps loves this man so much with all his heart that it would break his heart if Griezmann didn't see the pitch the full 90 minutes if he didn't get to see that. So he played him on the right wing for some reason. I'm like, if you have nowhere to put him on the bench, just do it.
Yeah.
You got all those good wingers on the bench and you won't play them. Like, yes, they finally benched Dembele after having lackluster performance, but they put Griezmann there. I'm like, no, that's not where he goes, you know? Like, and I don't understand it at all. And one other thing is, why do they keep playing Rabiot, man? I'm literally tired. Why do they keep playing Rabiot? Like, what does he do? I feel like he does nothing. I've never been a Rabiot fan. Like, and I said it last time. It's not just because I'm a Real Madrid fan. I want to see Camavinga play because I would play other midfielders over him. I don't know why they keep playing him, you know? It makes no sense. And I'm tired of seeing Rabiot. Thank God that this next game, he's out with yellow cards, man. We'll finally see him off the pitch. Now, if only he listen and bench Griezmann. If he's not doing anything, bench this man. Bring in the other youngsters that are performing these days, like your Zaire Emery's, your Barcola, you know, Kolo Muani had a better game. Durham hasn't been doing much up top. Honestly, at this point, he's not doing anything. So why do they keep playing them? I have no clue at all.
Yeah.
But you have all these players and you won't play them, man. Like, I just don't understand what you're trying to do. Are you trying to win or are you trying to lose? But you got Barcola, you got Koeman, you got Dembele, you know. And like I said, it's good that they benched Dembele because obviously he was being bad. But, like, you have other wingers, other players, and you're playing that guy. Like, come on, man. I'm tired of it. Like, Deschamps and his biasness and his favorites, I'm like, I'm tired, man. Like, I can't wait for this guy to get fired because I want him out. I want him gone. He's an idiot. And I don't know how Rabiot's seeing minutes over the other players they got on their roster. And it blows my mind, but yeah, Belgium had some attacks, they had some chances. I guess KDB had a chance to, you know, to score one, and he wasn't able to convert. He wasn't able to get it going for them, and Belgium went out sad once again. And they asked him the question about the Golden Generation, and he just, like, he was not having it. He just walked off. I'm like, bro, you guys are trash, man. They said that you guys were gonna win everything. You guys won nothing. You won nothing. Like, what do you have to show for? Nothing at all. And then you're going out sad. I don't know if he's going to come back for the World Cup or what, but he's going to go out sad, and they're not going to win anything because these guys that they have now, they're a little more raw, like raw talents, or like they have a mix of old and new, you know, so they're kind of in between a rebuild. And yeah, man, so I don't even know, but
Ever since my boy Hazard left, it's been shocking for them.
I mean, even before that, like, with him at the end, they were looking kind of shambolic, so they weren't looking like themselves. But they just couldn't find a way to get it going together, and now it's looking like I don't think they'll get anywhere anytime soon. But yeah, France pulled out the win very narrowly, which is crazy, but I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, any thoughts, Brian?
Yeah, so I mean, you kind of said everything I wanted to say with France's point of view. Like, I mean, I don't know why Rabiot's still playing. That dude is literally a waste of space on the pitch. Have you ever seen an air watching France? You should know. You don't even need to know their numbers. You don't even need to know their faces. You don't even need to know how they look. Just know that if there's an error, it's most likely Rabiot causing it. Because this man is just like, he's, how do you call it whenever they're like, whenever someone's like a, they're like, he's a liability on the pitch. Yes. This man is atrocious. And I'm not gonna lie, there was some people that had a pretty bad game. I know Theo Hernandez did, like, he has been very, very good, but there was one specific time where he messed up in this game. Well, there was like two or three actually, but there was one crucial one where if he wasn't as good as he was and was able to recover, they could have easily got scored on. But I mean, lucky for him, he was able to make it back because of his speed. But like, still then, even like that, they kind of had a little bit shocking of a, like, for him, for his standards, he had a little bit of a shocking game. But I mean, yeah, like, I don't know why Griezmann's on the wing. That's had to be like one of the worst things they do of all time, because I don't even think they kept going down the right side because of how bad he was playing. Like, I'm pretty sure for once, I think they're actually going kind of towards the middle. And if not, they were going down Mbappe's way. But yeah, like, that's how bad Griezmann was playing. Sometimes I would see him at the striker position, even though he's a winger. So, I mean, like, I think man was lost on the pitch himself. But from Belgium's point of view, I'm actually a bit disappointed, and for a different reason. I actually think Belgium got it right this game with the formation. I love that they had double strikers, because Romelu Lukaku cannot do it by himself. Like, this dude, I'm telling you, he always has his back against the goal. Never looking towards goal. It's always looking like he's trying to, like, scramble before he can even, like, turn and look at the goal. So it's kind of just, like, I hated the idea of him being there by himself. But this time they go two up front. They do the 4-4-2. And then they had Openda, which is, like, a great mix because Lukaku's not the fastest of people. And Openda offers a lot of speed. So whenever they try to do the counters, they can kind of just send it up to Openda, which was working early on. But towards the end, France just kept attacking a little bit too crazy. But the one thing I will say, the thing that messed them up is that in this game, Doku and Carrasco were literally, like, invisible. They left Openda, like, I feel like they went more so with basically, like, an 8-back, like, sitting everybody back and just letting Openda and Lukaku go by themselves. Like, if you're going to play this formation, as much as, like, yes, you have two strikers, so you think they can do everything by themselves, you have to get the wingers involved. Like, if you don't get them involved, it's going to be a long day, because respectfully, Openda, yes, he's a good player, but is he a good player to just be able to do everything by himself? No. And Lukaku has been Lukaku. I don't think I need to explain that. Dude's literally been so horrible this tournament, so, like, I didn't expect him to do much. But yeah, like, Doku needs to get involved. He's one of your best wingers. He's actually, like, probably, like, one of the best, like, young prospects at the moment right now. But yeah, like, he's always kind of cooking on that left side. So the fact that, like, he wasn't up there as much as he normally is in a different game,
is kind of like sad because I feel like this formation actually would have helped out a lot. But I mean, yeah, they kind of did it to themselves. Like, I feel like if it's not one thing, it's another. Like, they're, it's just not Belgium's time anymore. And like, it's just sad to see them go out like that because they had a lot of potential ones, and it's sad to see it go away. Like, KDB is still one of the best players in the world, but it's not looking like it whenever he plays for Belgium. Like, it's just sad, man. And Romelu Lukaku, please get off the field, man. I'm tired of... I'm glad we don't get to see this dude anymore because his football skills are atrocious. And when he comes back to Chelsea, oh, my God. Don't even give me...
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
And yeah, that was back.
Yeah, which leads us to the Portugal-Slovenia game. So, these guys could have... besides the pen, these guys could have, like, put the game away early on, and they just could not convert their chances. Unfortunately, it was... Slovenia was doing their part, you know, sitting back and hoping for pens, you know, and they got the pens, you know, like, that's all they could do against a team like Portugal. But, yeah, I mean, they could not hit their shots. They couldn't get them to go at all, and... and it led them all the way to extra time. You know, like, Ronaldo had that penalty, and he missed it. You know, Oblak saved it. Like we said, Oblak is a great goalie. Like, I'm sorry, like, no offense, but it was, I said it then, and it was, I was proven right. Slovenia is Oblak and friends, and I say that because Šeško has been so poor this tournament compared to his form in the Bundesliga. He missed that 1v1 with Diogo Costa, which would have put them through 100%. So, yeah. I don't even know, man. But he's been underperforming like crazy, man. So, they could have won and gone through if it wasn't for that. But, yeah. I said it was Oblak and friends, and I was proven right time in and time out again. Rafael Leão finally had a great game. He's been playing like trash, but he redeemed himself a little bit.
Him out.
I know, right? And he subbed off Vitinha that was doing good. Instead, they left in like Bruno Fernandes and Bernardo Silva. They weren't really doing much, and yet they, you know, like, they subbed these guys out. They subbed out Vitinha and kept these guys on. I know they scored their pens, but it's still, like, I wouldn't have subbed those guys out at all. But yeah, man. Hey, Oblak is Oblak. I'm not surprised he saved that pen. Oblak is a crazy good goalie, which surprised me that. Atletico were thinking about letting him go, but I mean, I wouldn't let him go. Whoever they let him go to, they better not be a rival. Otherwise, they're going to regret it. But, yeah, you know, like, Slovenia put up a good fight. They did their job, did what they needed to, and then they went into pens. And Ronaldo missed that penalty, and that could have won them the game and full time, and he just couldn't sink in. And he got emotional. He was crying. It's sad to see him like that because imagine knowing that you're the reason that your team lost, that you have your whole country on your shoulders, and you kind of just let them down. And I get it. But all the players did great by comforting him and motivating him and helping him at the end. So that made the biggest difference. So they have a chance at winning this if they stay united together as a team and as a family. I feel like they can make it pretty far. But Portugal got pretty lucky today. Not today, but in this game. today. I mean, like, in this game that day, they got pretty lucky. But, yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of just going to say, I feel like Rafael Leão had his best game as of yet with Portugal, and I don't know why he got subbed out, because I feel like he was putting in a pretty good performance.
Roberto Martinez is an idiot, but, yeah.
Yeah, that he is. And also, Vitinha should never come off the pitch if you're Portugal. Like, this guy is single-handedly carrying this midfield, and I don't know why he's always the one that has to come off. Like, find somebody else. I know you guys are so obsessed with Bruno and Bernardo Silva, but sub one of them out. Yeah. Like, you take out Vitinha. He does not deserve to get taken out. If there's one person who's actually been holding down that midfield, it's him. So, I mean, I feel like he deserves to stay there, like, at all costs. And then also, the one thing, because I agree with everything you kind of said, but the one thing I did, I think you forgot to mention, that kind of I witnessed, is you got to remember Pepe's age, because my man gave up a wide open one-on-one, like, to literally end the game. And I feel like it's obviously because he slipped, but, like, at the same time, like, you kind of see him getting a little sluggish, because at the beginning, he starts off pretty, like, fresh, obviously. And, like, you can tell the difference in the game. But obviously, you get into extra time and like all this is going on, and you kind of just gotta realize like how old dude actually is. And like, I know your other defenders aren't it. Like, I forget who the other dude that they always bring in is. I forget his name.
Ignacio, or
like he's made a lot of errors, but
Antonio Silva. I don't even know if they're still playing after that. After that Georgia game, they should not play him ever again, man.
Yeah, like that dude was having like a horrible game, but like
Semedo.
Yeah, having Pepe in for 117 minutes is a little absurd. Like, I would have liked to see him. Yes, he was putting in a great performance, but I would have liked to see him go out a little bit sooner just because of his legs. Like, let's give this man a little bit of a breather. But yeah, I mean, besides that, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like they're. A lot of stuff is kind of going on. Like, yes, they did get United, but at the same time, like, I hope that penalty miss doesn't ruin Ronaldo's confidence, because he's not that type of player. But I mean, like, the fact that he kind of got that emotional is kind of like a little bit of a concern, I'm not gonna lie, just because like I feel like he hasn't been having the tournament that he wishes he had. Yeah, so I kind of hope it doesn't mess with him mentally. I hope he's able to like keep a straightforward look at what he's meant to do and just cook like as he always does. But yeah, I mean, I think this game is one of those games where it kind of just brings the team together based off like how much you guys went through. So I'm be expecting a better Portugal in the next one.
Yeah, well, they need to, otherwise they're gonna go home. But
yep.
But yeah, which leads us to the Netherlands and Romania. So it was pretty close for the most of the game until the very end, that they kind of let up a little bit, Romania, and they conceded two goals like in the end. But they're doing pretty good. You know, they're trying to keep Netherlands at bay and try to come back and score and like take the lead here. But they just couldn't. Like Netherlands was just too good, which is why like even though the Netherlands went through like third place, I had a feeling that that they would do much better. That they just that they have results like go their way in the groups, and that's why they went through third. But I just knew that they were too big of a footballing nation to go down so easily, and they proved everybody wrong. You know, they went through. You know, 3-1. I would say comfortably, but it was until the very end where they kind of started scoring those goals that gave them a little more at ease and stuff like that. But I don't really got anything to know. Like, their team is pretty solid. You know, like, they got some guys that I've never really, I've not too known, like, in their starting 11, like, Schouten and I don't know if it's, like, Reinders. It looks almost like Reindeer, but,
yeah.
They got Schouten and Reindeer over here, but, I don't know who these guys are, who they play for, but their team's looking pretty solid. My only critique is Depay and his little headband, which now he customized it, it. Now his number's on there. I'm like, hey, that's cool, man. I said take it off, but not get it, what's the word? Not to get it freaking embroidered or something, so I don't know, man. This guy's something else, but, they put up a great fight, you know. Romania, like, and they achieved a lot. I don't know if anybody even expected them to get this far, but they should be happy about it. The Netherlands goes through this time. Yeah, anything you have to say, Brian, before we go to the last game?
No, I actually didn't get to catch this game, but I watched the replay.
I didn't either.
In the replay, it looked like it was a lot of Netherlands attacking. So, I mean, I feel like it was kind of what people expected, just a Netherlands dominance. But, I mean, yeah, I'll just leave it at that just because I didn't really get to watch it as much.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie. I don't recall it that well. So, but, yeah.
Yeah, same here. But into the last game, I watched this game. This game was really good. The Turkey and Austria game. It's tough, man, because, like, when we did our predictions, I wanted to go Turkey for Arda Güler, but Austria had been on a tear, and they'd been doing so good. I'm like, nah, I just can't go I can't go Turkey, because I said I was going to go a little more with my mind instead of the heart, you know? So, it kind of backfired on me this time here, but, you know, like,
Austria. It was a hard one to predict, though, because if you really look at it, Turkey had, like, the game of their life. Like, these dudes were, like, on it for this, like, one game. And will it happen again? Probably not. But, like, the fact that it did for this one kind of showed a lot. And once again, it was on a lucky day for them, because Austria kind of had one of their worst performances yet.
Like, they didn't look like they could get the attack going. So, I mean, like, it's kind of, it's just one of those where, like, it could have gone either way, and you kind of just got to, like, take it for what it is. Like, yeah, we had Austria, but at the time, Austria was looking way better than Turkey was. And there was, like, still the concerns with Arthur Guler, like, whenever they had taken him out and, like, putting him back in and stuff like that. So there was a lot going on for the Turkey side.
Yeah, but Austria almost pulled it back and drew at the end, but Turkey's goalkeeper pulled up a crazy save. Honestly, I feel like the player could have had a better header in, like towards the edges, like bottom corners where the goalkeeper wouldn't have been able to save it. But I mean, he still put in a good ball, and the goalkeeper was able to get that and keep them in the game, because otherwise it would have went to extra time, you know, possibly penalty.
Yeah.
But hey, Turkey did great. Arda Güler played great, and they're going through, man. They're going through the quarters, and we'll see how they do.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that save was one of the best saves of the tournament. 100%. I feel like that goalkeeper will get a lot of recognition, which he deserves, because honestly, that's not an easy save to make. So good for him.
Yeah, exactly. Him and Diogo Costa's goal, I feel, should be in the running for
Diogo Costa, what a penalty shootout, man. Like, dude had the penalty shootout of a lifetime. Congrats to him, because a lot of people had a lot of doubts about him. I mean, oh, yeah, bringing back on that.
Oh, yeah, whenever we did our previews.
Yeah, you had said that this dude was going to do nothing to get the goalkeeper of the tournament.
Yeah, I just didn't think he was going to do enough. Like, in the previous games, like tournaments, like, he wasn't the best. But, I mean, he put in a great performance, and he literally said, Cristiano, I'm going to put the nation on my back and get us through, you know. It reminded me of the World Cup when Emiliano Martinez got, like, Argentina through on pens, and Messi was so happy with them and whatnot. So it's kind of funny, but how it worked out. But, hey.
One of those things, too, is, like, we're not going to get them all right. So, like, the fact that, like,
we were close. You,
yeah, it is what it is. I mean, I'm sure not many people had Diego Costa getting all those saves on their bucket list. But, yeah, like, I think it is what it is. Congrats to him. And, I mean, he definitely got a lot of attention from other teams just from that game alone. So, good for him.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I say, is that if you're a Porto fan, you better look for a new goalkeeper, because there's no chance this man stays at Porto after that performance. And we'll see how he does against France. If he has another masterclass performance, he's gone. So,
yep.
We'll see. So, we'll do the recaps of these next – we'll do the predictions of these games that we have coming up. So, yeah, so Spain and Germany. So, very good game here, man. It's going to be a great game. You know, like, one of the best attacking teams, the most offensive teams. They've scored so many goals. They've had so many attacks. And against a home team in Germany. It's funny because the press conferences that they're having, there's all the players are saying, like, we're going to make sure that this is Toni Kroos' final match. And they're saying all this funny stuff, and then that thing with Pedri, where he goes like, "Rudiger pinches too hard." I was laughing because he sounded like a little child. He was like, "He pinches me. He pinched me. Like, ref, he pinched me." Like, I just found it funny, man. I was like, they sound like kids. And then the good one came out. I was like, we're gonna make sure everything in our part that it's not Toni Kroos's final game, but it's tough, man. I just know that as good as both teams are, I feel like it's not going to be like a shootout where it's like 3-3 or 4-4 or something like that.
It's going to be a boring.
Nah, I was going to say boring, but both teams are very good defensively, and I can't see like a shootout, but I'm going to lean 2-1 Germany. I have them in the final originally, and then they're still in it, and they're still in it once again. You know, I have faith. You know, like, I want Toni Kroos to win the Ballon d'Or, and his best chance is if he wins the Euros, and we'll see. Like, he's holding it down for them in the midfield. Like, I know that they're playing him as a DM, so he's really down in the pitch, so he can only do so much. But he's doing great things for Germany, and I hope to see that go the way, like I said. So 2-1 is what I have there. What about you, Brian?
I actually think Spain is going to show their dominance and show how Germany hasn't been having the tournament that everybody's putting them out to have, and I think they're gonna win 3-1.
Wow, okay, that's fair. Okay, Okay, so now Portugal, France. This is tough, man. I keep seeing so many stats about this. So I guess when it was Ronaldo's first international tournament, when he played in the Euros in 2004 with Portugal, he went up against Zidane. No, I think it was either Euros or it was the 06 World Cup where Ronaldo went up against Zidane, where it was like Ronaldo's first tournament versus Zidane's final tournament. And now we have Mbappe versus Ronaldo,
Yeah, Ronaldo.
where it's like Ronaldo's final tournament, but it's not Mbappe's first, but it's like
Yeah,
the sorry,
it's one of the first.
yeah. So it's Ronaldo's final tournament where like Mbappe's going up against him, and obviously he was saying that Ronaldo's his idol and all these great things about him and stuff like that. But it's gonna be a tough game, and honestly. France still have yet to score a goal that's not an own goal or a penalty. Like I said, they have their moments, and Deschamps loves playing his guys no matter what. I already saw a report that supposedly that Camavinga is gonna replace Rabiot, and I was shocked. So I was so sure they're gonna put in Fofana or something. I was like, knowing Deschamps, that he wouldn't want to play Camavinga in the midfield, but I don't know. After that momentum from that penalty shootout, I feel like they have a chance to go on a run. And
Yeah.
Portugal, I don't know, they're playing a little more better. Like sometimes that I don't know if I've seen them being as selfish as before. I get that Ronaldo's a little anxious because he if Ronaldo scores, I don't know if there's a record for like scoring a set amount of like Euros or consecutive Euros.
Yeah.
But I know that if he scores, I think he'll be the oldest player to score in a Euro. At the moment is Luka Modric with that goal against Italy, but
Yeah.
I hope that's not the case, because he's gonna get like distracted, and he's gonna be stuck on that, like trying to score at all times instead of trying to find the best way
Yeah.
to score. Sometimes it's better lay it off or pass it or find someone versus you taking a shot, a complicated shot. So maybe he's chasing that and he's trying to get that goal so he could be the oldest. I'm not sure. I hope not. He just needs to kind of just dig deep and focus and then see where he goes from there. But yeah, I'm gonna go for this one. It's gonna be tight, man. I'm gonna go Portugal 1-0.
Decent. Well, I'm gonna go the complete opposite, and I'm gonna go France 1-0 as well. I think Mbappe's speed is gonna be too much for Portugal's defense. I don't think Portugal got a player fast enough to keep up with Mbappe. So I think this is gonna be a completely different ball game. I feel like France will have multiple chances, but I think they'll only sink one because, like we said, they haven't been too good with getting the ball behind the net. But I'm sure they could do it once finally. So I'll give them the 1-0. And also, I feel like Portugal, like how you said with the Ronaldo thing, I feel like they're going to be trying to move a little bit too much through Ronaldo, and it's going to kind of distract them away from like the actual team goal, which is kind of like winning the game and getting everyone involved. But I mean, who knows? Because I mean, like we said, this has been a much less selfish Portugal team than in the past, and like we see everybody getting involved. But at the same time, you see the pressure of like everybody in the whole country behind Ronaldo's shoulders. So we'll see how that goes for him. But yeah, I think it'll be a France 1-0. And this is a revenge game. You've got to remember that revenge game.
Yeah, that's right. From the 2016 World Cup, the 2016 Euros, man, Euros, when they obviously lost in extra time,
Yeah.
where Eder scored that goal. I don't know. I'm sure the only player that was there from that team was probably Giroud, maybe Griezmann. Yeah, Giroud and Griezmann, maybe Kante were probably the only players that were there from that select group of players. So, but yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I could see it
Yeah,
going either way.
everybody knows the history still, like they know what it is.
Yeah, but yeah. So going into this next game, England, Switzerland. Like we already said so much about England and their shakiness and Gareth Southgate's like inability to like change players out, hold them accountable, and then just make the necessary tactical changes that he needs to, or like if they go down or to go up or to stay attacking, so. I don't know. If it wasn't for Gareth Southgate, I'd have England going on a little run, but I just can't, man. Switzerland look like a way better entity on paper, and physically they're looking much better. So I'm gonna go Switzerland here, and since England is so defensive and small, I'm gonna go 1-0.
I'm going to go 2-1 England, but it's going to be one of the same, literally the same replay of England-Slovakia. I feel like Switzerland will score early on, and then towards the ending of the game, they'll end up getting one, and then they'll get another one because of momentum, and then they'll just kind of sit back and park the bus as always. But, I mean, yeah, I think England will kind of go through. But if they don't switch the formation, I see Switzerland kind of winning. But I'm going with the fact that I think they will change it because from what I've heard, that Palmer, there is potential for Palmer to start, but we'll see how accurate that is.
Yeah, but what did you already said, right, your prediction? Or?
Yeah, I said England 2-1.
Yeah, okay, I thought so. I just want to double check. Which leads us into the last game, Netherlands-Turkey. So, like I said, I would have went with Turkey, but I wanted to go with what I thought was the right choice, and I thought Austria were a little more stronger, and they were playing great, but Turkey surprised them for sure, and they went through. But like I had said before, Netherlands were going to win that one, and it's going to stay the same thing, and I see Netherlands winning this one as well. Like I said, they're looking pretty strong. They're looking great, and I could just see it, so I feel like they'll win this for sure and make a little run. So I'm going to go Netherlands 2-0 Turkey.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I think Turkey last game had the best game of their life. And I don't think you can – it's very easy to do that back-to-back. So I think they'll have a little bit more of a, like, regular game and they'll end up getting beat up a little bit 3-0.
Is that the Just, where you're going?
Yeah, oh, Netherlands 3-0.
Yeah, I figured, yeah. Fair enough, man. We'll see how this plays out. But it's funny because most of the time, people don't want to go ballsy and go the big dogs, and they want to do some upsets here or go for, like, some smaller teams. But almost every single big dog went through, you know? We got a lot of big dogs in this tourney left. We'll see how it goes. But I guess, I think I seen a stat, I might be wrong, that I guess Switzerland have never made the semis. So if they beat England, they make the semis for the first time in their history.
Yeah, that three.
Exactly. And if Turkey goes through, I can't remember the last tournament. I saw a stat about it. I guess it was a super long time ago, like maybe like 10 years ago. The last time that Turkey made out of the group stage, that they made a run all the way to the quarter or the semis. But they made a little run, I guess, the very last time that that happened. That was a long time ago. But, yeah, so we got some interesting games leading up to, you know, this round. And we'll see how everything pans out and and all that. But I'm excited for the games. I know Brian is as well. But yeah, so that's, we're going to leave it there. And but yeah, so ending notes once again, Brian, what do we tell the wonderful people that have made it to this point in the podcast?
Do all the above, a 5-star rating, like, comment, anything, suggestions, anything you guys want to do. And yeah, feel free to share this to other people that you may know.
Exactly. All your lads, your ladettes, all that good, all those people you talk to. I know if you have something that you talk footy, send it to them or anyone like that, you know. We talk about most general, like, a lot of footy stuff all over the world. So, yeah, so all the good stuff, you know. If you're on YouTube, subscribe, drop us a comment, a like. Turn on your notice so you know when we drop. But remember, every podcast, anywhere you get your podcast, that's where we're all are. But, yeah. So thank you guys very much for watching. Thank you very much for tuning in. And we will see you in the next one.
See you guys.